The state reconsiders a complaint against a commercial tour operator in the Bald Eagle Preserve. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. That story and more up next. We reported last week that the state did not find evidence to support a claim that a jet boat tour operator violated conditions of its permit to operate in the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve. But during a meeting of the Chilkat Bald Eagle Advisory Council last week, state park officials said they will revisit the complaint that spurred the investigation and examine whether correct calculations were used to determine the outcome. Lynn Canal Conservation, or LCC, alleged the violations in September against Chilkat River Adventures. LCC claimed the company's jet boats produced wakes in a no-wake zone within the Bald Eagle Preserve, violating its commercial operator permit. LCC had 27 photos with its complaint it said illustrated the no-wake violations. Ben Ellis, director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, disagreed. He wrote in his response that State Park Ranger Preston Cruz did not find evidence in the photos or through an investigation that would support citing River Adventures for any violations. Cruz writes in his investigation memo that the preserve's management plan has contradicting information regarding the no-wake zones. The plan says commercial motorized vessels must operate so that no boat wakes are produced and a no-wake speed of 4 miles per hour is not exceeded in certain areas. But Cruz writes any boat at any speed will create a wake. So he conducted his investigation based on whether the boats exceeded a 4 mile per hour speed.
If I just look at a picture and say that's a wake but that's not a wake, that's my impersonal interpretation. The only thing in that was measurable is the speed. So that's why I keyed in on the speed. Mm-hmm.
Ranger Cruz detailed in his memo how he calculated the speed of the boats from the photos LCC provided. But LCC board members and some members of the advisory council said Cruz used wrong calculations. Cruz said he consulted with other law enforcement officials to determine how to calculate the speed of the boat from photographs, but he noted there didn't seem to be a clear procedure to make those calculations.
I have talked to co-workers and other law enforcement trying to figure out how to go about this, and if my reasoning was correct, none of them pointed out any obvious errors in it either.
Park Superintendent Mike Eberhardt, joining the meeting by phone, said his department will re-examine the calculation, which may produce a different outcome to the complaint. Ben Kirkpatrick is the advisory council member representing conservation groups. He said, aside from the methodology used to examine the complaint, the bigger issue is the lack of management of the preserve by state parks and fish and game, in his opinion.
Are we killing the eagles and fish wholesale? No. But are we living up to this mission that was established 30 years ago? I really don't believe so. And I think that if parks and fish and game spent as much time out there in the preserve when there are been issues raised versus trying to come up with these interesting interpretations and methodology, that we wouldn't have this problem.
Riverboat Adventures owner Don Hess also spoke at the meeting. He said the company noticed the motion sensor cameras on the riverbank early in the summer. He said there are many variables, including weeds and changing river levels, that can make it difficult to distinguish a wake from water displacement.
And after the latter part of June, first part of July, the weeds are growing. So when we go in, we tilt our motors up to keep from sucking weeds into the intake. And that you have, you look behind there and it looks like, oh, there's a wake behind there. But really what it is that the water that propels the boat out of the jet with that tilted up sprays out behind the boat. Mm-hmm. And it appears in a picture that you have a wake.
There is also discussion about trying to mend the relationship between the conservation groups and permitted commercial users in the preserve. Several council members and agency representatives said language in the plan and permits should be revised to make the rules about boat wakes and speed in the tributaries more clear. Council Chair and Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott said the underlying question is whether commercial operations and boat wakes are affecting the habitat. That spurred a discussion about how the council could advocate for more state parks funding for the Eagle Preserve. But Fish and Game Coordinator with the Division of Habitat, Jackie Timothy, said her division hasn't seen any adverse effects on habitat in the preserve. She said the publicity of the complaint against commercial jet boats has given a wrong impression of the management of the preserve, noting there is an area of critical habitat not open to commercial activities and held to a higher standard of protection.
We get people who call us very concerned about what's going on in the Chilkat River because of some of the things that get portrayed in the media. Some of these people are picturing jet boats just running rampant all over the river, and it's just simply not the case. What Parks allows, as everyone in that room knows, is an existing operator to continue providing the jet boat tours for the public in a limited area of the park.
The entire preserve encompasses 48,000 acres of river bottom land in the Chilkat, Klehini, and Sirku Rivers. In the preserve's management plan, permitted and licensed commercial tow operators are prohibited from producing boat wakes in the tributaries of the river systems. The state writes in the management plan, the effects of wakes on bank erosion and fish spawning areas is not known, but a no-wake zone is designated as a precautionary measure. Eberhardt did not say when his department would have its results from re-examining the complaints available. The fall elections are over, and some longtime Southeast lawmakers who lost their seats now must make new plans, like Angoon Democrat Senator Albert Kukesh, who ends his 18-year career at the Capitol when the legislature is sworn in this January. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Most Decembers, Albert Kukesh is making plans to move to Juneau for the legislative session. But this year, he's spending more time at his Angoon home, enjoying the view.
I see really calm waters because it's high tide right now. And all of the beaches and all of the woods are covered with snow. And so is my dock right in front of my little house here.
Democrat Kukesh lost his Senate seat to fellow incumbent and Sitka Republican Bert Stedman in the November election. The two became opponents when parts of their separate Southeast districts were combined. The new district has less than a third of Kukesh's old constituents, dropping communities in the interior and Prince William Sound. Stedman kept more than two-thirds of his old district, including two of the region's three largest communities.
I wasn't surprised. I thought if we worked really hard, maybe we can pull a little bit of an upset here, but that wasn't to be. You know, people knew Stedman and his old district, and they voted for him.
Out of office, 64-year-old Kukesh will remain busy. He's chairman of the Sea Alaska Regional Native Corporation's board of directors. He also co-chairs the Alaska Federation of Natives board.
So I'm not going to be just sitting around not doing anything. I'm going to be pretty busy. In fact, I'm even contemplating getting back into commercial fishing.
Once a seiner and a store and lodge owner, Kukesh spent two terms, or 8 years, in the Senate. That came after four terms, another 8 years, in the House. Before that, he worked in the Capitol as Governor Tony Knoll's special assistant for rural affairs.
Albert's going to be a definite loss.
Kim Metcalf of Juneau is a Democratic Party leader who's been active in the Alaska Native Sisterhood.
He's a very powerful guy with the positions he holds on both Sea Alaska and AFN, so he's not going away. He's going to be around for a long time and, you know, use his speaking skills. He's a great public speaker, and I think that we're going to hear a lot more from him.
Metcalf says he was a strong advocate for education statewide and in the villages he represented. She also says he used his leadership and oratory skills to urge young natives as well as others to attend college. Kukesh and Stedman worked together in the Senate's bipartisan majority. Their race was largely respectful, and Kukesh continues speaking in positive terms.
I think he's going to do a good job for our district. I'm just a little disappointed that they weren't able to put the coalition back together where he could have been the co-chairman of finance again or maybe even something more.
Kukesh headed up the Transportation Committee while Stedman assembled the capital budget as co-chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. But this election's Republican gains broke up the bipartisan majority, and the new leadership shut him out of budgeting. Stedman was offered chairmanship of the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. He accepted, saying he looked forward to an opportunity to broaden his horizons. Kukesh isn't so sure.
I don't think he's really cut out for HES, but maybe we'll see something different out of him. And I think he's more of a numbers man. He's very powerful in that area. He had a very good background in it. Finance was right up his alley.
Kukesh has been active in the Alaska Native Brotherhood, serving as regional president and secretary. He played gold medal basketball, a major Southeast competition, for 3 decades. But it hasn't always been a smooth ride. He's a constant target of Sea Alaska shareholders critical of the corporation, and he earned an ethics violation for comments some took as threatening the city of Craig to gain support of the corporation's land claims legislation. He was also among those cited for overfishing subsistence sockeyes near Rangoon. The case was dismissed. Despite all that, he says he still has a role to play.
My name is well enough known that I can still be a little bit of a force in Alaska. And if it's through the Native community, fine. If it's through some venue, I'd be glad to be able to look at whatever comes down the pike. Maybe we'll have a Democratic governor in the next election, and I could be involved in that somehow.
Technically, the Angoon Democrat remains a senator until the next legislature gavels in January 15th. But there's little to do before then. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.